Well, good Thursday morning. It is now 8:30, and this is the WLBB Community Voice Program. Broadcasting live from the Carrollton studios of News Talk 1330 WLBB on FM 106.3. Also this morning, we're broadcasting live on WKNG in Tallapoosa, AM 1060, 93.7. So good morning to our friends listening to us on that station this morning. The reason we are simulcasting on our sister station this morning is our guest is out of Harrelson County, an important topic we are discussing this morning. Harrelson County schools, as they prepare to head back to the classroom, the date set for August the 11th. Our guest this morning is Dr. Jerry Bell, school superintendent for Harrelson County Schools District. Dr. Bell, good morning.
Good morning, Colin.
And appreciate you checking in with us this morning. We've talked with Carroll County Schools on Wednesday, and Tuesday we talked with Oak Mountain Academy. And, you know, we have plenty of listeners over in Harrelson County, so we wanted to be able to update them and maybe answer some questions that they may have this morning. Tell us, you guys are heading back August 11th. The local schools in Carroll County did make some changes a couple of times, and they've delayed their openings, but you guys were set on August 11th pretty much the whole time, and we'll continue that.
Well, I think our original date was August the 4th.
Was okay.
And so we did push it back to August the 11th for face-to-face so that we have an extra week of our teachers being prepared. And during that week, we're calling it clicked brick, which was stolen from someone else. But school will officially be in session with that during that time with students and parents consulting virtually or in person with our teachers and administrators in groups or by appointment. This allows us to do smaller student orientations or open houses, student registration, learn more about our procedures, how we're going to pick up and drop off during the school day, Chromebook distribution. We'll have extra teacher training so we can be better prepared for that virtual instruction for those that choose to, or if we have to resort back and at any point in time and go completely virtual.
How many students have applied for the virtual option?
Right now, I'm going to pull those numbers up. We're still working on that. We have a pretty good idea, but it's probably across the board, and I'm going to make a close guess, but across the board, you're probably talking about 15% of our students who are choosing virtual, and that varies per grade level, obviously, and per school. We're still working on some high school numbers. Middle school, we still have about 42 students that we have not been able to get in touch with, so that number may fluctuate a few percent, but it's not what we probably originally thought. Thought there may be a few more that have. Just to give you an hint, for instance, kindergarten Buchanan, we've got about 13 students who have chosen virtual in kindergarten. First grade, we have 21. Second grade, on second grade, we have about 17. So that seems to be consistent within one or two students at that level, well, at all levels, pretty much. The high school is the one that's a little more of a challenge to get those numbers, so they're still working on those. I don't have a complete number. We expect to by tomorrow.
The internet issues in Harrelson County, highly documented. Is that going to affect the parents that feel comfortable with doing the virtual learning, even though, you know, if they're balancing, they're teetering, you know, they're worried about sending their kid to school, but they realize that they don't have internet?
Well, it has to. I mean, if you're a working parent especially, and you have students who are learning virtually, and you don't have adequate internet at your home, they go somewhere else.
I'm going to compare you guys with, when we compare Harrelson County with Carroll County. Carroll County confirmed cases overall, 1,653, but in the last 2 weeks, 519. Look at Harrelson County, confirmed cases overall, 179, but in the last 2 weeks, 55. So that's about 33% of the, a little more than, maybe 30% of the entire cases. Those numbers, I guess watching those numbers, what are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for, you know, obviously, we're staying in contact with our local health department, our regional DPA, and we're looking for them, partly for them to tell us that it is getting or becoming more significant in Harrelson. And so far, we haven't heard that. There, you know, we're still looking at that aren't tremendous. And, you know, we always want to protect our students and staff, and we will do whatever it takes to do that. But we feel like coming back is the best overall for the social, emotional health of the student, the physical health, to get them back in school so we can feed them, we can educate them, we can help take care of them. And allow the parents to be able to resume somewhat of a normal life through work and other activities.
And those are all valid points when, you know, you find what parents are posting online. I mean, you know, a lot of parents do work, so they rely on that, you know, their school time. The kids missing out on meals, you know, that's important. And the social-emotional portion of it. Can you talk about that? How do you guys work with that? To start out the semester, is that something that you'll address, or does that just, you know, I guess having them in that environment will just improve on that for kids?
Well, I think having them in the environment will improve on it, but we will also address it. We're going to be looking out for issues that we always do. We work closely with Willowbrook at Tanner, Harrelson Behavior Health, who all have folks in our district every day working with our students. Plus, we have counselors at every school. They're trained on what to look for of those students who may be having some issues social emotionally, and we will, you know, step that process up, keep a watch out for them, and we want to do all we can to ensure that we get them back on the right track.
Dr. Jerry Bell, our guest this morning. He is the superintendent of schools for the Harrelson County School District. Community Voice program on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. Also simulcasting on WKNG King Country AM 1060 FM 93.7 this morning. Will you, as far as the education going back to school, will you guys discuss, will that be part of the education, what the virus is?
Oh, absolutely. We have actually some of our schools are making videos to talk, you know, about what the virus is and how we can prevent it in our daily lives. We have nurses at every school. Tara Robinson, who is our head nurse, she has worked closely with our what we call our COVID task force, our principals, administrators, to ensure that we have a solid plan. She also works along with the health department, CDC, those people. She is our go-to person. And so she's been out speaking with the faculty and staff now, this week, talking to them about how to take care of themselves, how to take care of them, their classrooms, and what to do with students when they come back. They'll also, the nurses will be in the classrooms and addressing students when they get back, along with our teachers and our administrators in the buildings.
One of the precautions you've put in place is parents are not allowed to walk their children into the classrooms on the first day of school or the days that follow.
That's correct. And what we're trying to do is just limit the access to our buildings. We can control a lot of aspects of what goes on in our buildings, how clean they are, what we're wiping down. But the more people you get in the building, the tougher it is to maintain that same level that, you know, that we want to maintain. So what we're trying to do is just keep visitors out. We have a process for our employees. They will do that every morning when they start the day, you know, from checking their temperature, self-monitoring, filling out, you know, looking at symptom sheets and ensuring they don't have any of the symptoms. And so we're just trying to limit it to better keep our kids safe.
Dr. Jerry Bell, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program, special simulcast being heard on King Country, WKNG AM 1060 FM 93.7. And as always, our program on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. We'll take our first break right now and continue our conversation. We'll focus more on preparations that are being done inside of the classroom and maybe get some ideas of what the teachers are learning about preparing for the coming school year this week. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
As a graduate of Oak Mountain Academy, I found that my experience on the mountain prepared me beyond all expectations. As a junior at Auburn University, I approached my studies with great confidence thanks to what I learned at OMA. When I think back on my time on the mountain, I think of my teachers. Their genuine love and concern for me as a student was always evident, and now, as an adult, I still foster those relationships. I'm Carly Robinson, an Oak Mountain Academy alum. Visit oakmountain.us to see how you can offer your child an amazing opportunity to be a warrior.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
Time now is 8:41. Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice Program, News Talk 1330, FM 106.3. And this morning, we're simulcasting on sister station WKNG King Country, AM 1060, FM 93.7 in Tallapoosa. So good morning to our friends out in Harrelson County as we interview our guest this morning. He is the superintendent of schools for the Harrelson County Schools District, Dr. Jerry Bell. As we talk about Harrelson County School District returning to the classroom, that date is set for August the 11th. Dr. Bell, how about masks? Are they mandatory this year?
Well, masks aren't mandatory. We are, at this point, we are strongly encouraging them, and especially when we can't maintain the 6-foot distance. Schools, I was not able to go around this week.
I think I'm going to need you to stand in the same spot there if you can, or maybe lift your elbow up into the corner of the room because the signal kind of went out there.
All right, I'm standing in the same spot. Okay. So anyway, sending folks out to the schools this week, most of our teachers were wearing masks. I think they take it very seriously. I've asked them to wear it. You know, we strongly encourage that, but to wear it so that as an example for our students. I think it's very important that they do. One, you know, it may limit the spread, but also it limits who has to be quarantined, if nothing else. And I'm an example of that. You know, unfortunately, this week I've been in quarantine because I was exposed to someone who tested positive last week. And had I had a mask on in that time that I was around them, I wouldn't be in this situation. But it's one of those afterthoughts. That learn from, and we'll move forward from there. But we are strongly encouraging it. We want our folks to wear them whenever possible, and we believe that'll help us to have a better flow in our school day and limit the number of anybody who may be exposed or the situations where we may have to quarantine. And if you've read the CDC guidelines, if you have that mask on and you are around someone who has it, then you may not be susceptible to quarantine at that point.
Time right now is 8:43. Dr. Jerry Bell, Harrelson County Schools District Superintendent, our guest on this morning's Community Voice. The budget this year, how much, what did you put in the budget in preparation for this school year due to COVID?
Well, you know, fortunately for us, we have a strong budget, and even with the budget cut, we were able to do some things to manage through it, and we did increase, I don't have a dollar figure in front of you, but we did increase our maintenance budget and our technology budget without increasing the overall budget and be able to do those things so that we can better battle this pandemic. We have ordered, they're actually in and ready, we've ordered technology to go on buses so that we can place those out into the community and have Wi-Fi hotspots for those who may have limited internet access. Obviously, we've bought masks, we've bought hand sanitizers, we've bought the things that we feel like we need for a better school and a safer school environment. So it has, you know, been an increase to our budgets, but we've been able to shift and kind of prioritize a little differently to make room for the things that we need to battle COVID.
Did Harrelson County School District's their 4-day school week, did that impact any kind of decision making? I guess maybe the opportunity to have one extra day to clean rooms?
Well, we think it does. Right now we have that Monday. So we have ABM is our janitorial service that we use, and we have them on standby with a team at a moment's notice that if we do have a case, they come in with a rapid response team and hit that building or that particular area overnight and very quickly so that we can be up and running. Just like the case last week where a couple of us were exposed, we had a team on site in a matter of minutes and deep cleaning that building in those areas. So we feel like we're in a good spot with the four-day work week in what we can do. You know, whether we have to go full-time or face-to-face or change to virtual, either way, it gives us some flexibility that others may not have.
Now, we did the interview with the Carroll County School District yesterday, and there were a lot of questions. We did it on Facebook Live, and some questions that listeners did ask. I'm going to pass those along to you now. Can you talk about standard operating procedure for when students or teachers do test positive for C-19, in addition to the infected person, who will be obligated to quarantine, and then how will that be determined?
Well, we, as you know, on I think it was July, July the 22nd, CDC came out with new exposure guidance, and of course we follow it. Our nurses are the key player in that, so that when a student either tests positive or has symptoms, we have areas of quarantine within the school, close to the nurse's office, that we can quarantine that student away from others. We will mask them, and we will wait for the parents to get there. And I'm sure you, and I hope our listeners have read the latest out from the Department of Public Health that came out on July the 22nd about if you're in close contact with someone who's infected, the rules to follow there. We've sent that out to all of our staff and our administrators so that they understand the rules that we will be following, and when to quarantine, how to quarantine, when you can come back to school. What does a quarantine mean? When, you know, a lot of people say, well, I talked to somebody who later tested positive. Well, you have to be within 6 feet of that person for 15 minutes or more before the quarantine becomes significant, and so forth. And so we have those rules sent out to our schools. Our administration understands them, and I think we've been able to answer a lot of questions from our staff, especially right now, on what to do in these cases.
How many kids do you see in each classroom, and how close will they be seated?
Well, that depends. You know, we feel like at the lower levels, even in some cases of having to remove furniture and things like that, we will be able to get them in and maintain relatively that 6 foot distance because those classes are so much smaller. Gets a little more of a challenge when you get to the high school levels. That's where we provide the flexibility for the teachers to, you know, teach in a manner, and I say, or at a location, if it's in their classroom, if it's out of their classroom, somewhere that's more convenient, or if we can't maintain those 6 feet, then we may have to look at masks.
Dr. Jerry Bell, the Superintendent of Schools for the Harrelson County School District, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, also simulcasting this morning on sister station WKNG, AM 1060, FM 93.7. One more question before we do go to our final break. Parents' responsibility as far as checking their kids before sending them to school. The encouragement to check their temperature in the morning, is our temperature checks something that will be done during the school day?
They will. Obviously, if a student is feeling bad, we'll be checking temperatures. But every student will have their temperature checked before they get on a bus. They will have their temperature checked before they go into the building. So we've purchased enough no-touch thermometers for every school. The principals requested a certain amount, and we were able to get those for them. Students who are car riders will be tested before they exit the car. That way, if their temperature is 100.4 or higher, they will not leave that car. That way, they're not exposing others outside of that car. If they get on the bus and their temperature is 100.4, and masks will be mandatory on all buses just because of the close proximity. So if a student comes to that bus and tests high temperature of 100.4 or higher, then we have a process of where that parent will be contacted, and they'll go back to the house with a parent if a parent's there. And if not, we have we'll quarantine them on the bus until they get to school, and we have a process, that'll work through that to keep them away from everyone else. And, of course, everyone else will be masked also, so it'll put them at very little danger of catching it.
A listener had shared this suggestion with us yesterday. I just want to get your opinion on it and see if it's feasible or perhaps it's even being exercised. Instead of kids changing classes, why not the teachers have rolling carts? And that way they'll just be in the same desk and same room, the kids.
Yes, and that will happen in some circumstances within our schools. It's a little easier to do at the K-8 level as opposed to the 9-12 level, when, you know, you have so many different subjects being taught in different classes. You know, the kids aren't together all day like they are in some of the lower levels. So we have looked at that. We do have a process that can happen at certain times to limit the movement of the students in and out of the hallways. Of course, when they do go into the hallways through transition times, we have halls clearly marked with arrows, one-way traffics, things like that, to keep those kids separated so they're just not bunching up in the hallways as they move from one place to the other.
Are kids encouraged to bring bottled water to school, or is the school able to provide that throughout the day? Because I'm assuming the water fountains are off limits.
The water fountains are off limits. We've shut those down. But, yes, we have encouraged the parents to bring or send water with the students, if at all possible. Obviously, if we have students who are thirsty and need something, we will provide that need. But we ask them to send their water with them, and they can drink it throughout the day.
Time right now is 8:52. We're going to take our final break and wrap up our conversation with Dr. Jerry Bell, Superintendent of Schools for the Harrelson County School District. You're listening to the Community Voice program, special edition on this Thursday on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, simulcasting on sister station WKNG King Country, AM 1060, FM 93.7.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. Strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
At Oak Mountain Academy, our daily schedule includes convocation, prayer, and the Pledge of Allegiance. By doing so, we build a family-like community where all students grow and flourish and personal faith is encouraged. Through community service and a historical approach to biblical study, our students are taught the value of the warrior way, honesty, respect, and responsibility. Oak Mountain Academy, we are a family creating legacies. To learn more, visit oakmountain.us.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice program on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. And this morning, you can hear us on WKNG King Country, AM 1060, FM 93.7. Our guest this morning is Harrelson County School Superintendent Dr. Jerry Bell. If you've missed any of this program, perhaps you joined us late, we're going to post it in its entirety to the NewsTalk1330.com website, WKNG.com. You can find it up there as well. That should be posted by about 9:05 this morning. So, again, if you have any questions, you need to refer back to a comment made by the superintendent this morning, I do encourage you to visit our website. Again, Dr. Jerry Bell, our guest, as we have about 6 minutes left in the show. What would cause you guys to go full virtual, maybe by September or October? What will we be looking for? What will be enough to push this into a full virtual experience?
If we see a rapid rise in students becoming sick and or staff, we're gonna do our best to protect both. Again, as I said earlier, we just feel like coming back is the best option for our students. But if we need to go, we are prepared. We've been working on this since the spring with our safety task force or our COVID task force to prepare for whatever the situation may bring, and we can change on a dime. So if we see that our cases continue to rise or even start to rise, we're gonna do our best to not put our students in danger and or our staff for that matter, and we will flip the switch and head that way. But again, we just feel like it's best for them to be there for the reasons I told you earlier. And we're going to keep a close watch on that. We're going to keep in close contact with the Department of Public Health, the local health departments, the regional health, state, and make those decisions as necessary.
Now, click to brick, is that what it is, or brick to click? What is this, the planning? Click to brick days. There you go. Click to brick days. That'll be August the 4th through 7th. What is that period about?
And basically, that's what I mentioned earlier when I told you. That's just, we decided to add in that additional week and call it click to brick, meaning going from virtual to the classroom, the brick in the classroom. And that's where it'll allow us just a little more time for student orientations to what to expect when they come back to school. Our teachers will be bringing in students in small groups instead of having the large open houses that we normally have, where tons of people flood our schools. That gives us an opportunity to have smaller open houses so we can, again, just better introduce our students to the new normal. And also for new student registration, drop ads, Chromebook distribution, you know, all students 3 through 12 in our district have are issued a Chromebook so that if we do go virtual, they have the hardware at home to be able to do that. Continued teacher training to prepare that if we do have to leave and go virtual, how we'll do that and what it'll look like. Our plan is solid, but that just gives us a few extra days to better prepare our students and our staff in smaller groups and instead of doing it like we've always done it.
Do you hope that's an opportunity to maybe put some parents at ease and students at ease?
I think so.
See the operation.
I think already those parents who have called and talked to us about our plan and have seen some of the things that have been put out, many of them's minds have been put at ease. You're always going to have those keyboard warriors who no matter what we do, we're going to be wrong. And they're usually not the ones that call and get the in-depth information about what's going on in the schools anyway. So I do believe that those that will take this opportunity to come to the schools to see what's going on in the school, just like one of our staff members who was a little worried about coming back, once they saw all that was put into making it safe, that eased their fears as well. So always going to be some out there. That's just the nature. You know, some people are more susceptible to the virus and the damage that it can do, and they're going to be on edge. But our goal is to keep everyone safe, and we're going to do all that we can to do that.
Well, if there are any changes in the back-to-school plan over the next 2 weeks, how will families be contacted? How will they learn about that?
Well, you know, we have multiple avenues of contact, just like we do with weather days. We have all calls. We have mass emails. We have texts. We have Facebooks. We have district and the school pages online. And so we will get the word out there. We have the radio station. Y'all are really, really good about answering our calls and distributing the information as we need it distributed. So we've never had an issue of getting it out before, and I don't think we would now. I think it'll be we'll be ready to go if that comes.
Dr. Jerry Bell, Superintendent of Schools for the Harrelson County Schools District, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. You can hear us on WKNG King Country this morning, and as always, News Talk 1330 WLBB. Doc, thanks for joining us this morning, and good luck with the coming school year. I know it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be as much fun, but good luck with it, and good luck to all the students.
Well, thank you, Colin. We appreciate the time.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And thank you for listening to this morning's Community Voice program on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3. And we simulcasted with our sister station this morning, WKNG, King Country, AM 1060, FM 93.7. Again, this program in about 5 minutes, we'll have it up on our website. If you missed any of it, or you want to refer back to some of the comments made by the superintendent, we encourage you to do that. Time right now is 8:59. I imagine Trade Line is coming up pretty soon on WKNG King Country, so stick around for that. If you're listening to News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, we've got your national news followed by local news, and then Glenn Beck is on the air from 9 until 12. Have a great Thursday, everybody.